Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Amen.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, if you would. I know we were there last week, but I want to return to that scripture that we talked about because I feel like God isn't quite finished with it yet. It's been ruminating through my mind and spirit this past week, and I feel like there's more that the Holy Spirit wants to say before we move on. Anybody ever gotten into a passage of scripture and God just won't let you go on? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you're doing your devotional, you get to a passage and you read it and you're done and you prayed and you kind of study it a little bit and then it's like, man, I can't turn the page. I can't go on. I can't continue on to the next thing yet because there's just more that the Holy Spirit wants to say to me. And that's why I'm glad that the Word of God is alive. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Well, if our thoughts and attitudes are always changing, guess what? The Word of God is alive and it reacts to what it needs to do in our lives and our hearts. So I'm glad that the Word of God is alive. So we're going to be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And I titled my sermon last week, Burdened, and that's what I want to continue to talk about this morning. It says this in that passage, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many know what it means to be burdened? Just raise your hand for just a minute. How many know what it means to be burdened? If I just say burdened, how many have felt this week a heavy load that you're carrying on your shoulders? All right. I think all of us throughout our lives, some days are much better than others, but there are these burdens that we feel and we carry and that we deal with. Now, last week we named them off. I'm going to just review it real quick with you this morning as we get back into this. We talked about being burdened by position. Taylor, just follow me. We talked about being burdened by responsibilities. We talked about being burdened by wants and desires. Being burdened by what has been and what could be, and being burdened by failure. Now, I don't have time to go back into it. If I get in gear and get these sermons up online like they're supposed to be, you can go there and listen to it again or study the notes from there. But all of those are major areas in our lives that we can carry heavy burdens in. And then we began talking about this scripture where Jesus promises that those who are burdened could come to him and find rest for their souls. They could come to him and take his yoke upon themselves. They could learn from him. And he tells us that his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And so we just had a little bit of time to talk about what happens with his yoke in our lives. We said his yoke offers companionship, that we are not alone in this thing we call life, that he's there to walk alongside of us, to share the burdens that we have in our lives. We talked about Psalm 55, verse 22, that says, "Cast your care on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never let the righteous be shaken." We talked about 1 Peter 5, 7, that says, we can cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, all of our concerns, once for all on him, for he cares for you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Did you know that Jesus is watching over you this morning? Say amen. He knows exactly what you're carrying in your life. He knows the burdens. He knows the worries. He knows the anxieties. He knows the concerns. He knows what you have to do to try to make life work. And he's watching over you carefully. And the Bible says we can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. We said last week that his yoke offers strength. That it's not our strength, but it is his strength. I love the scripture that says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It is his strength. I love the verse in Philippians that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we take his yoke upon us, we find that he does the work, that it is his strength pulling the loads in our lives. And finally, last week we said this, his yoke offers a framework. If you know what a yoke is, being put upon the shoulders of the oxen, but it offers a framework for our lives. That when we're yoked together with Jesus, we have a framework that offers us perspective. See, if we're tied together with Jesus and we let him lead, where he looks, that's where we'll be looking as well. So we have that framework of perspective. That yoke also offers for us boundaries. If you're yoked to someone or something, you can't go very far, can you? And I'm thankful that when we're in relationship with Christ, if we're truly yoked with him, the presence of his Holy Spirit pulls us back. It pulls us into alignment with his word. And finally, we said last week that his yoke offers a framework of direction, of guidance, and of purpose in our lives. And because of all of those things, we can find rest. We can find that the burden doesn't have to be so heavy. That when we're weary, that Jesus is there to walk alongside of us and carry the load for us. But I just felt like we needed to go back there one more time and talk a little bit about it. By the way, did anyone who was here last week, did anyone take the time to do what I suggested at the end of the service? Okay. All right. Good. So we have some hands up. And what I said at the end of the service was, I just wanted you to take 5 minutes this week and just go to the scripture, read the scripture, and then take 5 minutes to talk to the Lord about your burdens, about yourself, and just see what the Lord says. So we had a few raise your hands. I wonder if anybody would like to share, and if you don't, that's fine too. I don't want to put you on the spot, but would anybody like to share a testimony of what that did this week? Does anybody have a testimony of what God did in your life by just doing that simple thing? Okay, it didn't work. Did you hear from God? Did the load seem lighter in your life? I want you to think about it. I want you to think. Ms. Rhea, you have a testimony about that? Okay.
As I was reading the Bible, what I do is I close my eyes and I just open a random page and then I read it, because when I do that, God just tells me what he wants me to read. And when I did, it was the story about how Jesus fed the big crowd of people with the fish and the bread loaves. And it was really nice to read that, because God reminded me that he has it all. And even though we might be struggling, I know that he'll provide for us, and that he's going to continue to provide for us even when it looks impossible.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. The reason I do that is I really believe that we are blessed. You know, sometimes I think that we tend to feel like we're in this thing alone, and that the problems that we have, nobody else has in the world. But most time, if we'll listen to other people's testimonies, we'll realize, you know what? There's lots of people that feel the way that we feel. There's lots of people that are going through some of the things that we're going through. And when we hear what God is speaking to their lives and how God ministers to them through his word and through prayer, it blesses us. Now, I did what I challenged you to do this week, and I'll share a couple of those passages that God just really used to minister to me. I'll share them as a part of my message this morning. But I'm here to tell you, if you're feeling weary and burdened, go to the Word of God. And just, you know, it doesn't have to be an in-depth. I'm not talking about doing an in-depth study. You can do that at other points in your week. But I'm just talking about for those who are weary and burdened and you want to find rest, just go to the Word of God and just let it minister to you. Yoke up with that Word and let it begin to build strength into your life and encouragement and healing. Yoke up with the presence of the Holy Spirit and just say, Lord, I need to talk to you today. I need to talk to you about the burdens that I'm carrying in my life. Because so often, God has a word. Amen? God has a word. Sometimes it's just literally one word. Sometimes it's not a word, but it's just his presence coming in around us. Sometimes God will take you back to that living, active Word of God that we talked about in that passage that you just read, whether it's a scripture or a whole chapter or whatever it may have been, and kind of point his finger at it and said, that's for you. Why do you think you ended up here today? That's for you. And here's how it is for you. I love that scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I just want to talk to you about two things this morning. Number one, and it's in your notes, and there's a little blank there. But I want to talk to you about the right destination. The right destination. When we truly understand this verse, then we will understand where we need to end up. Now, there are three powerful directions that God gives to us in this passage. And none of them are suggestions. Would you agree with me? These aren't suggestions. If we want to find rest for our souls, he gives us what we need to be. He gives us the destinations with these three powerful things. Come to me. Then he says, take my yoke. And then he says, learn from me. So the right destination all focuses on one person, and that is Jesus. So that's what I want you to see about these directives. The focus of their attention is Jesus. Come to me, he says. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. See, we even as Christians, we look to so many different people and so many different things for answers in our lives. But Jesus said, if you're worried and burdened, do you know where you're going to find the answers? Do you know where you're going to find rest? He says, me. You're not going to find rest for your soul anywhere else. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for taking a vacation. I'm all for taking some time to ourselves. I'm all for taking a nap in the middle of the day. So if you ever come in here and you hear some snoring going on, just turn around and go back out and make an appointment with me later on. We need that kind of rest. But Jesus said, the rest for your souls, the real rest, the rest for anxiety and the rest for worry and the rest for the troubles that you're facing and the load that you're carrying in your life, that comes from one place. It comes from me. So he says, come to me. Where are you going to find your rest? I'm telling you, it will be in vain. And people look to all different kinds of things. They look to hobbies and they look to money and they look to the advice of this world for lessening the loads that are on their hearts. But we've got to come to Jesus if we want to find rest. He didn't say go looking somewhere to find your rest. Go to the bookstore and find the latest self-help book or the latest idea on how to handle the struggles that you're doing in your life. He didn't even say, go find the best doctor so that you can come up with the best solution. There's nothing wrong with finding a good doctor. But I'm talking about if you really want to find the rest that you need, you've got to come to Jesus. Because all of those other things, as good and as beneficial as they may be in our lives, they're not truly going to give us rest for our souls. Now, there may be times when you come to Jesus, and in the midst of that rest that he gives you, he tells you to go and do something specific. He may tell you, hey, here's the doctor I want to go to. Here's what you need to be doing. Here's how you need to be handling it. Here's how you need to address this situation. He may give you instruction, but the true rest that we find comes from Jesus himself and being in his presence. See, we become yoked to those same people and those same things that we run to for answers. So Jesus says, come to me. You're only going to find it in me. And then he says, take my yoke. We don't need to be yoked to anyone but Jesus. We don't need to be yoked to anything but Jesus. And when we become yoked to the people and things other than Jesus, we tie ourselves in relationship to those people or those things rather than Jesus. What do we call it when we're yoked to people or things? We call it codependency, right? That means there's a relationship of dependence upon someone else or something else in our lives. And we become codependent on each other. The problem with codependency is it never really helps, does it? You end up with two broken vessels that are trying their best to lean on each other. But in their brokenness, they find no true strength. If you want strength, we need to be yoked together with Jesus, in relationship with him. Now, it's not a codependency relationship with Jesus. It's a total dependency relationship with Jesus. And you've got to be willing to do that, to make a commitment to stay in relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing about a yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Here's the thing about a yoke. If you are yoked to other things, you can't be yoked to Jesus. A typical yoke, I know they're not all exactly the same, but a typical yoke hooks two beasts of burden together. If you've already filled up that spot with someone else or something else upon which you place your expectations of dependency, then there's no room for Jesus to be in there. And besides that, that's your yoke that you've created. Jesus says, take my yoke. He's there. He's already in the yoke, and there's an empty spot just waiting for you. Take my yoke upon you. Not somebody else, but my yoke upon you. Well, we can be codependent, or perhaps we independently refuse to be yoked with anyone except ourselves. Now, when we do that, we call it taking the weight of the whole world on our shoulders. You ever done that? Come on. Anybody ever try to carry it all yourself? Yeah, me too. I can do this. I'm going to do this. And we try and it hurts and we complain and we gripe and sometimes we keep trudging forward and sometimes we do really good for a while. But then the burdens just keep piling up and keep piling up and keep piling up and we realize can't do it. But if we refuse to be yoked with Jesus and we say, I'm only going to be yoked to myself. I know there's an empty spot here in this yoke, but I'm going to pull this load by myself. Jesus says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. So we're talking about the right destination. Rather than believing that we can and should do it ourselves, we need to know that we need to be partnered with Jesus Christ. And finally, Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. Where do you get your answers from? Google? Siri? Alexa? Come on, how many Googled something at least once this week? Raise your hand. Yeah. Man, are we... What if Google quit tomorrow? None of us would even remember how to get to church, would we? We're so used to mapping things out and following the directions. Where was we going the other day? And she sent us the wrong place. You remember? We were coming home. We're coming from Branson back to Wichita. And we've been that route many times. But we were driving and we had Siri giving us the instructions and we're driving along talking and follow it and she's like, turn right at this intersection. And we're all thinking this doesn't make sense, right? But that's what she said, so okay. Pretty sure that's not the way that we came just a few days ago. We should just keep going straight. So we turn and, you know, then we start looking, discussing. Trina's like, no, I think we need to go that way. And so then we actually, you know, look at the map. And she was routing us about an extra 30 minutes in a direct that didn't need to be done, you know. And so we broke our yoke. And we said, I don't care what you say. We're going to go the other direction. And so we turned around and we shut Siri off and we went the other direction. Then we turned that direction. Then we brought it back up. And guess what? She agreed with us. All of a sudden, we were going in the right direction. Where do you get your answers from in life? Do you stop to ask Jesus? Are you learning from him? You say, I've learned all I need to learn about Jesus. No, you haven't. You're never in this lifetime going to learn all that you need to learn about Jesus. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care if you've taken Bible classes, if you've got a degree. I don't care if you're an ordained minister. It doesn't matter. You're never done learning from Jesus. The right destination to learn from is Jesus. The best destination to learn from is Jesus. And so he takes all three of these thoughts and he centers them around himself. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. And it's like he's begging us. I think I'm going to develop a new app for the phone. So instead of saying, hey Siri, or hey Google, went off when I said that right now. I got to see something here. Hey Siri, what should I preach today? She said, I'm not sure I understand. I'm going to develop a new app. It's going to be Hey Jesus. Spiritually, we need to be wired that way. That every day, we need to find our answers from Jesus. Hey Jesus, what do you think about this? Hey Jesus, what should I be doing today? Hey Jesus, what should I feel about what just happened to me? Hey Jesus, these thoughts of fear and anxiety that I'm experiencing today, what should I do with them? Hey Jesus, what are the answers? Hey Jesus, how do you want me to live? Hey Jesus, come on. Now, somebody developed this a few years ago. They just didn't put it into electronics. They put it on a bracelet and said, what would Jesus do? But that's old school. We need something that we can build an app on. Except for we'll never find it in the world of electronics, will we? We'll never find it in this world. We have to go to the right destination. And that's why I encourage you to take even 5 minutes of your day and go to the Word of God. Because that's your app. That's your destination. That's where you find your answers. That's why I encourage you to take some time, 5 minutes even of your day will make a difference if you just talk to Jesus about the things in your life. And Jesus will answer you. Now, you start hearing an audible voice every day, let me know, would you? Because I'm going to come stand by you because I want to hear too. I'm not saying that every time I talk to Jesus, I hear, you know, an audible voice like Siri answering me. But I do hear him. And every time I open his word, I hear him. Somebody said, you want to hear God, read the word. You want to hear the audible voice of God, read the word of God out loud. I do hear him. And you will hear him too. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. Three times in one passage, Jesus says that we will find what we need in him. How important do you think this concept is if he repeated it three times? There's three verses there. 28, 29, and 30. Three verses. How important do you think this destination is if he repeats that three times in those three verses? The right destination is Jesus. If you want to find rest for your souls. Number two, second thing I want to talk to you about this morning is this. The appropriate directives. The appropriate directives. All 3 of these directives. Come, take, learn. Indicate that we have a choice to make. All 3 of these indicate that there is a participation by us in the obtaining of the rest that Jesus promises us. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a choice. There is a participation. If there were no choice to be made, if there were nothing for us to do at all, then why would Jesus give us directives? Right? I mean, that makes sense to me. But why would he say, why not just say, if there was nothing for us to participate in, if there was no directions that we needed to follow, if there were no choices for us, then wouldn't just Jesus say, I'm your rest? But he gives a specific directive. Come. That's a directive. Take. So you have a choice to make. Am I going to come or not come? Am I going to take or am I not going to take? Am I going to learn or am I not going to learn? It's not automatic. You have a choice to make. And there is a participation in finding this rest. I didn't say that you are your own answer to your rest, but I did say that you are a participant in the rest that Jesus promises by making the choice to follow the directives that he gives you. So let's go back one more time and look at them in the sense of being directives. Jesus says, come. Come. Do you know that's the same word that's used when Jesus invited the disciples to follow him and when he promised that he would transform their lives? What did Jesus tell the disciples? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's the same word that he used when he spoke to the disciples. Now, when he said that to the disciples, how many of you think that they had to make a choice of whether or not they would participate in that directive? Makes sense, right? They did. And the Bible says that they left their nets and they followed. They responded to the directive. They participated. Listen to me. They participated even in this transformation process, because Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, come and figure it out. He said, you come, you respond, you participate in this directive that I'm giving you to follow me, and I will then make you, transform you into fishers of men. There will be something that occurs in your life because you choose, everybody say choose. You choose to respond to the directive that I'm giving you. And that's the same thing here in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me. You have to choose whether or not you're going to respond to that directive. And whether you're going to follow Jesus, come to Jesus, just like the disciples. And when you do, what happens is a transformation begins. It's a transformation in regards to these burdens that you've been carrying. See, there's a unique partnership between ourselves and God in this transformation process. Even in our salvation, there is a unique partnership between ourselves and God. We don't save ourselves. We're not saved by works. Don't get me wrong. But there is a partnership in the sense that we must respond and participate to the directive that he's given us, which is come to me. or believe in me, or repent of your sins and ask me into your life. There's a participation. We are not saved by works, but we partner with God in this whole process of salvation and transformation in our lives. So the burden of the work is on God. Come to me, who all you are weary and heavy laden. It's not ourselves, right? The burden of the work is on God, but there's a participation, because it is by grace you have been saved. So think about God's grace this morning. It is by grace you have been saved, but what's the rest of that verse? It's not of yourselves, right? Through faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. It is we who must decide to come to Jesus so that we can receive the grace that he has for us. I'll say that again. It is we who must decide to come to Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. We need to decide, am I going to come to Jesus so that we may receive the grace that he has for us? Now, I want you to think about Paul. I told you to tell you a couple of the passages that just kind of ministered to me. And they weren't long passages, but that I kind of focused on this week that helped me understand the burden that God carries for us. See, like Paul, Jesus is always the one who pursues us. Think about Paul's life for a minute. Was Paul looking for Jesus? Was Paul, who was at that time called Saul, looking for Jesus? Nope. Was he interested in Jesus? Not other than the fact that he wanted to know who was on Jesus' side. Why? Because he was persecuting him, right? So, he wasn't pursuing Jesus, but was Jesus pursuing him? Absolutely. And that's why Jesus took time to stop him. Cold in his tracks on the road to Damascus, blinding light and a voice from heaven, Saul, how hard it is for you to kick against the goats. And then he said, it's me you're persecuting. But he did that so that he could pursue the heart of Saul. Somewhere in that process, I'm here to tell you that there was an invitation for Saul to come to Jesus, and he did. And then the grace of Jesus transformed him into Paul. Grace invites us. You say, how am I saved by grace if there's something that I have to do? Here's why. Grace invites you, and then grace transforms you. But in between the invitation and the transformation is the choice. Grace says, come to me. And then grace says, I will make you. But you have to respond to the directive. You have to come. You have to say yes. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, watch this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. Paul's saying, God's grace changed me. And really, he's saying two things. God's invitation had an effect on my life, and I said yes. And then God's grace continued to have an effect on my life and transform me into what I am today. And then he goes on and he says, no, I worked harder than all of them. See, there's that participation, right? There's that partnership with God's grace. Paul said, I am what I am, and his grace was not without effect. And he says, no, I worked harder than all of them. All of them who? All the other apostles. He says, I worked. I worked at this life. I worked at this becoming what I am. So there was a participation on Paul's part, but then he turns right back around and he acknowledges. He says, yet it's not I, but the grace of God. And then I want you to underline the small word in your Bibles. That was the grace of God that was what? With me. God's grace was with me. So do you notice how intertwined this relationship is in Paul's statements? It's the grace of God, but I worked, but it's the grace of God. There's a partnership, and that with is a very important word in this passage. 2007, Kathy Griffin shocked the world with offensive comments while accepting an Emmy. It's not the first time, it's not the last time she did it. So she made note of the fact that some people thank Jesus when they receive an award. She said, quote, he didn't help me a bit. Then she said, this award is my God now. See, she doesn't think that God has anything to do with our success in life. But Paul tells us that he does in this passage that we just read. Paul tells us that it's the grace of God that is the driving force behind our triumphs. So we come, but he carries the load. It's the grace of God that partners with us. And it's that invitation that we hear in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me. Come to me. So we respond to that invitation, not deny that invitation, and we are the benefactors of the grace that God has for us. So here's Paul. He once had persecuted Christians. He has this miraculous conversion to Christ. He turns around, and now he says he's the hardest working and most fruitful apostle of all. How is all of that possible? How do you go from killing Christians to planting churches and raising up pastors and turning whole cities to Jesus? Paul said, well, I was a part of that process because I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So let's look at that word for just a minute. There's that itsy-bitsy preposition. And in the transliterated Greek, it would be S-Y-N. But it's pronounced soon. And it indicates that that God's grace was not just upon him or in him or around him or by him, but instead he chose to say that the grace of God was with him. I think that's so important when we go back and we look at Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you." He wants a relationship with us. And what that little preposition in the Greek means is to keep company or to have association with something or someone. Now, we've already talked about the destination, that's Jesus. So Paul is saying that God's grace, that the incarnation of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, his presence, his grace, because Jesus is grace, was with me, partnered with me, kept company with me, had an association with me. That preposition links two things together and makes them one. Think about that. With takes two things, links them together, and makes them one. It suggests that two separate things or individuals have teamed up, does that sound like a yoke? For the same cause, and catch this, and have begun working together. Paul was painting a picture. He was saying that after his conversion, he teamed up with the grace of God. Grace had become Paul's ministerial companion, personal assistant, and partner in the work of Christ. It's safe to say that Paul at times felt like grace was a tangible person beside him, assisting him on his journey. Now, think for a moment about all the things that Paul endured during his time in ministry. Prison, beatings, stoning, shipwrecks, hunger, thirst, burdens. Burdens that he had to endure. But he didn't endure them alone, because he was partnered with Jesus. Do you understand what I'm getting at? When we come, when we make the choice to partner with the grace of God, then the grace of God carries the burdens in our lives. Now, when I was putting this together, I thought, you know, I can hear somebody saying, because I've felt this way in my life too, I can hear somebody saying, "Pastor, but I don't even have the strength to come." I don't know if you've ever read that passage and had a day where you felt like, "Well, that's all good and well, but I can't get up. I can't come." Whatever that means spiritually, I don't think I can even get there. I want to remind you what I said about Jesus. Paul didn't pursue Jesus, but Jesus pursued Paul. The disciples in the beginning, they didn't pursue Jesus. Jesus went after them. You say, I don't know that I have the strength to come. But here's the thing. God's grace not only gives you the invitation, God's grace not only takes care of the transformation, but God's grace will empower you to have the strength to come. And we have a hard time figuring this out, because somehow we want to put the work back up on ourselves. And there is a participation and there is a choice to be made. And I think that choice is simply to surrender to the directive that he's giving us. And say, "Okay, I'm going to quit going to other people and other things for the help that I need. But I don't think I even have the strength to come to you, but I surrender. Okay, Lord. And then his grace gives us the strength to step into that fellowship and partnership with him. It is amazing grace, isn't it? Surrender to his directive today to come. And the moment that you do, the moment that you surrender your heart and you look to him, sometimes I've found this too. Sometimes it is the burden, whatever that burden may be in your life, sometimes it's the burden that becomes the vessel of God's grace reaching out to us and bidding us come to him. Think about it for a minute. Sometimes we kick against the goads, as Paul was accused of doing. In other words, the burden that we're trying to carry by ourselves is the very vessel that God is there in the midst of, reaching out to us and saying, just take my grace. Just come to me. Number two, what are these directives? Come. Number two is to take upon oneself, to carry, to receive, to accept. Again, let's look into the language that Scripture uses, and you'll find that it's used many times. But one of the places is in this passage that says, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself. What? Take up his cross and follow me. Again, there's a partnership that's going on, but where does it begin? It begins with following the directives of Jesus. I spoke to you a few minutes ago, and I told you that if you're yoked with someone else or something else, that there's no way to be yoked with Jesus. This verse that we just talked about says the same thing. If a man will come after me, let him deny himself. Paul said it in this way. Paul said, I die daily. So in order to follow this directive and take up the yoke that Jesus has for us, we have to unyoke ourselves from other things and other people. And again, it's the grace of God that gives us the strength to be able to do that. Because the grace invites, the grace empowers us to come, and the grace transforms us. But we have to participate by saying yes. If a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Are we willing not only to look to Jesus for the answers we need, but commit ourselves to an ongoing relationship with him? Listen to me again. Are we willing to commit ourselves to an ongoing relationship with him? Will we take the yoke of relationship upon ourselves and commit to staying connected to him? People want to run in and run out. Right? They want to come to Jesus for blessing, and then they want to go live the way they want to live. They want to come to Jesus when they have a need, and then they want to go out and do what they want to do. They want to come to Jesus when it's convenient, when they have the time, when they need some fellowship and some friends, but otherwise, they're out in the world doing what they want to do, living the way that they want to do. Jesus wants you to take his yoke. A yoke signifies being bound together. A yoke signifies commitment. and staying connected. That's your choice. Jesus is not going to make that choice for you. His invitation is open. But why get connected and then unconnect and then get connected and then unconnect and then get connected and then unconnect? Why not just stay connected with Jesus? Especially when he said his yoke is light. His burden, easy. Take my yoke upon you. Commit to staying connected with him. That's the directive that he gives us. And then number three, he says learn. Learn. To learn by use and practice is what that word means. To learn by use and practice. See, as we take his yoke upon ourselves, we begin to walk with him daily, then we need to take that final directive and actually learn. Learn. Yeah. It's just like I was telling you earlier about using Siri or Google for mapping your direction. We can grow dependent upon that, and we don't actually learn where we're going. How many know what I'm talking about? That's why you have to Google the same places 20 times. Because you're not thinking about it. You're not paying attention. You're not learning the turns to make, the ways to go, the landmarks that are there. You're just wanting that voice to tell you what to do. And it's the same with, we can be yoked together with him, but we need to begin to learn from him as daily we're walking with him in relationship. It's just not so that he can drag us along. It's so that we can begin to learn where he goes and how he wants us to walk and how he wants us to carry the load. We learn, or should learn, from being in relationship with him. There's always going to be days when we pull against the yoke and we try to go our own ways. It's called conviction. We pull on the yoke, the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we're like, okay. But the more we walk with him, and the more we come to understand his ways, his purposes, his directions, the more we find that there is rest and relief from the burdens of life. I don't know about you, but when I don't understand something, it stresses me out. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When I learn how something works and I learn how to do it, I'm not stressed by it anymore. Right? My son got his driver's license this week. And I'm thinking back, you know, in my process years ago and trying to obtain my permit and my license. Yeah, it's very stressful. I can imagine it being stressful. And that's one of the reasons I wanted him to get it, because I think once you begin to learn, and I told him after get it, I said, now there's still a big load on your shoulders. Just because you got a driver's license doesn't mean you know how to drive. Believe me, I've seen some of the trainers here. It doesn't mean you know how to drive. But the more that we understand it, the more that we get the feel of it, the less stressful it becomes, right? And it's the same with the burdens that we carry in life. The more that we walk with Jesus, the more that we understand how Jesus functions, how he works, what his will is, what his word says, the less we feel the load of the burdens that we carry. And thus we have rest. Revelation 1:9, this is the last passage. Revelation 1:9 and 10, this is the second passage that that really spoke to me this week. It's from John. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me paraphrase. He had a heavy burden to carry. He was an older man. He was on the Isle of Patmos. It was an isle for political prisoners. There was hard work there to be done. He was an outcast. He was suffering. But he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. John describes his conditions with this phrase. He says, I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God. Now that would have immediately told them all they needed to know. We get it. We know what that island is. We know what happens to people who go to that island. Get it. But then he says, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, again, when you get to the Greek, the same word that is translated on in the Greek is the same as the word that's translated in. It's the exact same word. So, literally, John said, I was in the Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit. And what I want you to glean from that is that in the midst of our heaviest burdens, in the midst of our darkest times, we can still be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's that relationship with Jesus Christ that makes the time of darkness and trial and suffering that we're in bearable. What I'm saying is he was in both at the same time. Jesus never said, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will make all of your troubles go away. But what did John have on the island of Patmos that maybe other prisoners didn't have? He had the rest for his soul, because he was in the yoke with Jesus. And that's what you're going to find too. You're going to find rest for your souls. You're not going to find necessarily that you're suddenly out of trouble and out of all of the things that we have to deal with in life, but you'll be in the island of Patmos, but in the Spirit. When we come into relationship with Jesus Christ in that way, then we know that he bears our burdens. The other thing I want you to tell you about that passage real quick is that when he said, I'm in the Spirit, and then we read all the rest of the book of Revelation, and this is what you need to know. That when you're in the Spirit, when you come to Jesus and you take his yoke upon him and you learn from him, what Paul was saying, I'm here in Patmos right now, and I'm in the midst of this suffering, I'm in the midst of these things going on, but I'm in the Spirit, and when I'm in the Spirit, I see things that God sees. Isn't that what the book of Revelation is? When I'm in the Spirit, I see what God sees. When you're yoked with Jesus, those same issues that you have, those same burdens, those same problems, that same heaviness may be there, but you now can see it the way God sees it. And that may bring a tremendous difference to your attitude and your life and your ability to rest. So John didn't see it as a problem. John saw it as an opportunity to get so alone with Christ that he could see what nobody else could see. He could see visions of things that we're still talking about today and trying to figure out. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Right? Father, there may be some here this morning that are burdened in their spirits. And I pray like John that on this Lord's Day, they would in the Spirit see what you see. Give them visions, I pray, about the problems that they're facing. Give them visions that go beyond those problems to the glories of your kingdom. Let them see right now what you are doing and what you intend to do. Let them feel the strength of your love surround them and encourage them and guide them in the days to come. May they commit themselves to coming to you, to taking your yoke, and to learning from you. And I just pronounce, in accordance with your word, that the rest of God would fall in this place today. And that, like John, we would be lifted up into heavenly places. In Jesus' name. And if you'll receive that word this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go in Jesus today. Walk in him today and be blessed as you find rest for your souls. God bless you.